Good morning, FBC. If you are new here, you've probably already figured out I am not Pastor Mike. He's over there. And I am not Pastor George. My name is Sam Smith, and that is my actual name. It's not an alias. My wife is Tanya, our worship director. We've been here for 18 years, and we have three teenagers, Truman, Tava, and Lucy. Mike asked if I would be willing to share what God has been laying on my heart, and I am willing and delighted. It is a joy to be with you this morning and share God's word. I just want to take a moment to address my fifth and sixth grade Sunday school kids. I know I told you no Sunday school for 2 weeks, which is true, but surprise, you still get Mr. Smith this morning. Just remind you that if I have to put my hand up, it means it's not your turn to talk unless I call on you, all right? And things will go well. So I want to tell you about an experience I had last spring when I was dropping the kids off for school in the morning. My daughter, Tava, reminded me, "Dad, don't forget to pick me up after school." So I didn't want to forget. So when I got to work, I pulled my phone out to set a reminder on my phone. Use that nice tool, that alarm. I got my phone out, looked at the display, and there right in front of me were notifications, texts, and emails that my mind was instantly drawn to, and right away I was engaged with conversation, replying to people, and my mind was elsewhere. It was not on picking my child up from school. So, my phone went back in my pocket without ever setting that reminder. 3:20 comes along, and I'm working, and I'm thankful I had to look something up on my phone, pulled the phone out of my pocket, and I looked at the time, and suddenly my mind remembered. I'm supposed to be somewhere else right now. So I immediately dropped what I was doing, raced to my truck, and made a beeline to school. I was thankful that my daughter didn't have to wait too terribly long in the parking lot, but she was waiting, and I did owe an apology. I'm sure you can relate on some level to forgetfulness. Maybe you're not as forgetful as I am, but we are all prone to forgetfulness. We are forgetful people. In the busyness and distractions of life, we forget all kinds of things. Meetings, doctor's appointments, birthdays, anniversaries. We forget where we left the car keys or where we parked the car. Maybe you have searched the house for your sunglasses only to realize they're on top of your head. Anybody ever been looking for your phone and then realize, oh, I'm talking on my phone? We are forgetful people. We're distracted by many things that scream for our attention. More significantly, we have a condition of spiritual amnesia. We are prone to forget who God is, and that true life, satisfaction, and rest is only found in His presence and His provision. When we forget that God is our creator and provider, we look horizontally to satisfy the desires of our hearts. We pursue satisfaction from our work, titles, possessions, our bank accounts, comfort, social status, relationships, climbing the ladder to make a name for ourselves, trying to please the expectations of others. In our pursuit of satisfying the desires of others and ourselves, we push ourselves beyond our limitations. We enslave ourselves to our work without any permission to rest. We are hurried, we're tired and worn, and our dissatisfaction produces impatience, irritability, being easily offended, short-tempered, insistent of our own way, divisive and critical of others. We are unloving because hurry has no time to love people. Now, God knows that we are prone to forget, to go our own way and forget who He is. The good news is that He is patient and compassionate toward us in our weaknesses. He has given us a gift, the gift of Sabbath, which is a rhythm that calls us back, reminding us of God's presence and provision, and the rest and satisfaction that is found in Him. Now, I love talking about Sabbath, and there is so much to talk about, so much to be said that we don't have time for this morning. So what we're going to do is kind of a flyover. We're going to touch on some Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. They'll be on the screen for you. We're going to see where the idea of Sabbath came from and how it applies to us today as God's gift of grace. I'll share some practical ideas of implementing a rhythm of rest. And my hope is that this morning, this will serve as kind of a primer for future Sabbath conversations. So let's get into it. Rest was God's good idea from the very beginning. We read about it in the account of creation at the end of Genesis chapter 1 and into chapter 2. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So why did God rest? Does God get tired? He didn't rest because He was exhausted and He needed a nap to replenish. Isaiah 40:28 tells us, the creator of the ends of the earth does not grow faint or weary. God does not need to sleep. He does not have limitations like His creation does. When God rested on the seventh day, He was delighting in His creation as He looked over it and declared it to be very good. In a way, God was also creating on the seventh day as well. He was establishing a model of rest, creating rest for His creation to follow. God had created a paradise for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They walked and talked with God, having complete trust and rest in His presence and provision. There was nothing that they lacked. God even created a partnership with mankind in caring for the garden. Work was a very good part of God's creation. But then in Genesis 3, we learn how Adam and Eve fell for the devil's lie that they could be like God. They turned from trusting in God's way to follow their own path, trying to ascend to their own greatness and find satisfaction in themselves. The door of sin was flung open, ushering in all of the brokenness that we see so evidently around and within us today. Paradise was no more, as God's very good creation was stained, distorted, and corrupted, and the relationship between God and mankind had suffered a severe blow. Work would now be accompanied by blood, sweat, and tears. Peace with God had been stolen and replaced with guilt, shame, fear, and lies about God's heart. The curse of spiritual death was applied to all mankind, and our sin condemns us to an eternal hell separated from the presence of God. But God's love is relentless, and He promised that Christmas would come. He would send a Savior that would crush Satan and bring restoration to the brokenness. Long before the day that Christ would arrive in a manger, God chose to establish a covenant relationship with the family of Israel, through which he would show himself to the whole world. In the book of Exodus, God delivered Israel out of Egypt, where they had suffered under the yoke of heavy slave labor. For this generation of Israel, the Exodus of Egypt was a new start and a personal introduction to God. He made known to them that his name is Yahweh, I am. He is the one true, self-existing, and everlasting God. He made known to them his ways. He led Israel to Mount Sinai, where he began to teach them more about himself through the Ten Commandments. In these commandments, God was showing Israel that his ways were not the ways of the oppressive, burdensome labor that they had become so familiar with in Egypt. God teaches them that he is a God of rest, and he commands them to trust in him and taste his goodness through the gift of a weekly Sabbath. The command is in Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God gave the Sabbath so that we would remember that he is creator of all and that he established the seventh day as a day of rest. He knows that his people are prone to wander from him. In Deuteronomy 8, he warned Israel not to forget to follow his way of rest. Otherwise, they would begin to believe that their abilities, their wealth, and their power were all created by themselves. How often do we fall into that same foolish thinking? When we elevate our abilities and our work above our creator and provider, we fall for the same lie told to Adam and Eve, that we don't need God. We can go our own way and find our own worth, identity, and satisfaction from the world and our work. We refuse to rest, but we must remember that every part of our being belongs to God. Your heart cannot take another beat. Your lungs cannot breathe another breath apart from his will. God gave the gift of Sabbath for his people to remember that he created and rules over everything. So in the same way that we tithe of our money in faith, acknowledging that all of our possessions are from God's hand, so it is in Sabbath that we tithe our time, because even our time belongs to God. Another purpose God gives for Sabbath is to remind people of their identity. In Exodus 31:13, God is speaking of Sabbath, and he says, "This is a sign between me and you through your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." It's repeated in Ezekiel 20:12. "I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." To sanctify means to set apart as holy. So just as God had set apart one day as holy, God had also chosen a people to set apart as his own. And who are those that he sanctifies? It is those who trust in God's promises, to those who believe in the promised Savior. Jesus is the promise. He is the promise who took on flesh and walked among us. He is the light that overcame darkness of the world by living the perfect life that none of us could. He paid our penalty of sin by sacrificing his perfect life on the cross. And he conquered death by rising from the grave. The work that Christ has done on our behalf has made possible the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in God's kingdom. He offers that restoration and eternal life to you as a gift by his amazing grace through faith in him. If you have not received that gift, then this morning, believe. Believe in Jesus. On the cross, he declared, "It is finished. The work has been done for us." We are reminded of that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Jesus is our rest. When you place your faith in Christ, you are a new creation with a new identity in Christ. The righteousness of Jesus is applied to you, and you are sanctified, set apart. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So for those who trust in Jesus, your identity is child of God. We're told that in John 1:12. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We need this regular reminder that our efforts and good works cannot earn our peace with God. Jesus provides our peace. He is our rest. In him is where true satisfaction is found. Now, this does not mean that life on earth is smooth sailing. The world will continue to be troublesome, proving again and again that it will not give you peace and satisfaction. It will offer all kinds of peace and satisfaction to you, but it cannot deliver. It will leave you wanting. Jesus said it himself in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When we find rest in Christ, our overcomer, we can agree with David, who knew trouble. He wrote Psalm 23 as he was being hunted by his enemies. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Do you have that kind of peace in Jesus? Do you want the faith that says, "I am satisfied and I desire nothing else. I have complete peace and joy in my Savior, come what may. I do not fear my last breath on this earth, because it is then that I will inhale my first breath of sin-free air in the presence of my Savior." I want that kind of faith. If we're honest in our distractions, we so often don't see clearly enough to see Christ as all-satisfying. We have moments when we're ready to step out of the boat and walk on the water with Jesus, but then our faith wavers in our doubt and fear. We can relate to the father who cried out to Jesus, "I believe, Help my unbelief. We need regular reminders to fix our eyes on Christ, because he is our unmovable anchor, and his faithfulness does not waver when we are faithless. So setting aside a day of rest can provide that opportunity for refocus. It is a step of belief to help our unbelief. In our rest, we can taste and see more and more of his goodness. So how can we get back to a day of rest? Is it even possible to slow down in such a fast-paced culture? In my own attempts to rest, I feel the pull to productivity. I can begin to feel guilty and restless, and it's so easy to just go back to working, entertainment, keeping my mind busy with so many things but distracted from God. So what we need to do is look at the teachings of Jesus, who invites us into rest. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want you to notice the phrase, "learn from me." Jesus is not telling us, just wait till you die and find rest in eternity. Yes, ultimately, our peace in the midst of trouble is because Christ has secured our eternal life. But Jesus is offering us a taste of that eternal rest even now. He calls us to find rest in following his way, observing him and learning from him. So let's observe Jesus. In Mark 6, Jesus' disciples returned from ministry work, and they had reported to Jesus all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Jesus gives permission to rest, even while there were so many needs and demands before them. The world and your work will not care about your need for rest. The pace and expectations around you will not let up when you try to rest. But you can rest because Jesus rested, and Jesus gives you permission. Rest is a gift from your Creator. So a couple of years ago, I was starting to explore this concept of a Sabbath day. I was trying to implement it in my life and taste and see the Lord's goodness in it. My daughter Lucy was sitting on the couch, and she was trying to understand what I was talking about, this Sabbath thing. So I explained to her that I was choosing to rest for a day. I wasn't going to work on that day, not even on house projects or paying bills or trying to be productive. I was embracing a day to rest in God's goodness. Maybe to take a nap, spend some extra time reading, praying, and enjoying restful activities that I always wish I had time for. In response, Lucy longingly said, "I wish I could have that." I realized that busyness is so ingrained in us. It is what I had been modeling and teaching. Busyness. It gave me so much joy to tell her about the good gift of rest from her Creator. I told her, "You can rest. And you should rest. You have 2 days at home from school this weekend. So choose which day you are going to do homework and chores, and the other day, choose to rest." A few minutes later, Lucy had the blanket hold over her. She was conked out on the couch. She had received permission to rest. We also learned from Jesus that he found rest in prioritizing time alone with the Father. Luke 5, 15 and 16 says, "The news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." We see this again in Mark chapter 1. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Maybe you feel that if you try to rest and have quiet time with God, everyone will be looking for you. But Jesus often went to desolate places. I know it's hard, but I'm wondering if you do have a place to go. Is there a quiet corner of the house? Maybe sitting in a boat or on a lake shore or walking your favorite trail in the quiet of the woods. Perhaps finding a desolate place simply means making yourself less accessible to the world. Turn the news off for a day, or maybe more than a day. Consider turning all your phone notifications off. Put it away in another room. Could you turn your phone off completely for a little while? I know the thoughts and the questions that come up. What if someone needs me? What if something happens? This can be a step of exercising your faith. Remember who created everything and holds it all in the palm of his hands. Remember, we like to hold on to any control that we have, but we are not in control. We find rest when we release our grip. Release your worries. Cast your burdens unto Jesus. He cares for you. In silence and solitude, we clear away the noise and clutter from our mind and allow our souls to breathe. In a quiet space, we yield to God and allow him to reveal our thoughts and emotions and work in our hearts. In the quiet, you can be still and know that he is God. In the stillness, embrace your limitations before a limitless creator and delight in being his creature. Find more satisfaction in Jesus. When we are most satisfied in Christ and desire nothing else, that is when he is most glorified in our lives. In a heart that is satisfied in Christ, his spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, self-control. Jesus taught that his gift of rest is a grace for us. It's not a list of rigid rules to follow. Sabbath is not meant to be a burden on you. It's a gift. It's like a trellis that is made to support our spiritual growth. When the Pharisees, in their self-righteousness, took issue with the disciples picking grain on Sabbath as they walked through the fields, Jesus told them in Mark 2, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Pharisees had missed the point of Sabbath and made it all about the thing itself, rather than the person of Jesus. So as we talk about practical ways to implement and protect rest, let's not miss the point of Sabbath. Jesus is the point. Life does not come from what we do or a particular practice on a particular day. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives righteousness that we cannot earn. So how do we implement a rhythm of rest? Resting can actually be very difficult if we don't think about it ahead of time. You kind of have to plan it out. So it can be helpful to set some personal guidelines to protect rest. But beware not to create and impose man-made rules on others. So for most people, Sunday lends itself well to a day of rest. It's the day that the church gathers for corporate worship and fellowship. It's what we're doing right now together. We are Sabbathing. I don't know if that's an actual word, but it is now. I'm using it. It's a verb, Sabbathing. We're dwelling on Scripture and reminding each other of who God is and our identity in Christ. Some people have specific things that they like to do each week to enter into their Sabbath day. Some will light a symbolic candle. There are families that gather around with their family or with other families, other friends. They gather around the table and say a Sabbath prayer, thanking God for his gift of rest before enjoying a special meal together. Activities that aren't a regular part of your work week can be refreshing for the soul. Delight in the gifts of exercising, hiking, biking, basketball, pickleball, playing catch. Or we'll take it a little bit more low key, crafting, reading, singing, and playing music. Maybe take a nap. Isn't it funny how when we are children, we resist napping when we're told to? And then in adulthood, we would love to take a nap, but we don't give ourselves permission. Sabbath is a wonderful gift to enjoy as a family. You can teach it to your family, allowing time for playing games, doing a puzzle, walking together, enjoying food and conversation around the table. You can take time to enjoy activities together because God has given that time to you. In those activities, give praise and worship to your Creator who gives all good things and delight in Him. Now, when Jesus healed people on the Sabbath, He taught that it is actually okay to be like Jesus on the Sabbath. So you can take time to do good to others. Bless a neighbor in need. Write an encouragement note. Maybe consider how you can help a young family or a single parent to find a break in their week for some rest time. These are just some simple ideas that I'm rattling off. You can decide for yourself. I don't want to give this idea that it needs to be all of these things that you have to accomplish. It's not about accomplishment. It's not a pass-fail. And I don't want to give this idea that rest should look like this picture-perfect Mayberry either. That will only disappoint. Because real life still happens. The desire for peace and quiet gets interrupted with squabbles and unexpected events. The goal of Sabbath is not to escape life, but to know that Jesus is your peace in the midst of life. Diapers still need to be changed. People and animals still need to be fed and cared for. Rest takes on different forms depending on the stage of life you are in. Sometimes a slower pace is found in just a long game of Candyland. You just keep flipping those cards over. That can be Sabbath too. Resisting productivity to sit and spend time with your loved ones. And you're teaching them in that. Allow the Spirit to grow your patience and satisfaction in simply being His beloved creature. Now, practicing the gift of Sabbath rest can be difficult and even discouraging when it seems like a foreign concept to everyone else around you. Rest comes easier when it's more familiar, when it's encouraged within community. So what if in 2025, we as a church community begin to implement this gift of rest and talk about it with each other? Let's encourage each other to slow down. Ask each other, when are you planning to rest this week? How are you going to rest? What will you need to let go of? How will your Sabbath day look different from the rest of your week? As we embrace God's gift of rest, believe and be satisfied in Him. Remember, He is our Creator in whom our identity rests. Our resting is a rehearsal and a foreshadow of an eternal rest that is coming, a new paradise. And today is one day closer when He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Jesus said, "To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." So lay your burdens down and rest in Him. He is your overcomer and your peace. Jesus is your gift of rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are a good and gracious God. Thank You for Your gift of Sabbath rest that patiently calls us to turn our hearts back to You when we wander. Lord, would You help us to honor You as we do the work that You have called us to do? And we ask for Your help to cease from that work, to remember and embrace Your rest, to fix our eyes and see more of Your goodness and be satisfied in You. In Jesus' name, amen.